Welcome back to Reflections. My name is Nadine Tim, and as always, I am your host. Here on Reflections, we talk about some of Africa's biggest problems from the perspective of young people. In our last episode, we talked about technology in Africa, and today we will be talking about education. Now, education is one of those words that has come up in every single episode of this podcast. In our first episode, several people said a lack of quality education is Africa's biggest problem. And in our last episode with Kingsley Besidone, he mentioned that the slow adoption of technology in Africa is also partly an educational problem. This really got me thinking about why education is such a big deal. And immediately I remembered a very famous quote, which I'm sure most of you have heard before. It says, education is the key to success. I have no idea who came up with this quote, but I know for sure that most of my high school teachers would say this every time they wanted to encourage us to work hard in school and do our best. But sometimes I have a bittersweet relationship with this quote, because in my lifetime, I've seen so many educated people struggle to make ends meet and to feed their families. And it makes me wonder if sitting in a classroom for 20 years of your life can guarantee success. Don't get me wrong, I have also seen education transform so many people's lives. So we will be discussing some of the issues in our educational system that hinder young people from reaching their full potential. And to help us do that, I got some responses from young people from Sierra Leone, Zimbabwe, Ghana, Rwanda, Nigeria, and Uganda. And we'll just discuss what they think is stopping young people in Africa from reaching their full potential. The first response I got was that a lack of practical experience, especially in relation to science classes, hinders a lot of young people from taking interest in these courses. Because we barely get to practice the experiments we read, it's hard to apply this knowledge to societal problems. To back this up, another young person from Zimbabwe said, you can't learn computer chip design based on test books all the time. You need a bit of practical experience. And this is absolutely true, right? Because if you're learning, especially sciences, if you're learning science-related things, you need to see some practice. You need to see how this can be applied in real life. If not, it just becomes this abstract thing. And I'm so glad that there are organizations like the Practical Education Network in Ghana now that is trying to help young people in high schools learn science using very, very basic things, things that they can find in their own environment. And most times, the excuse that our institutions have given us is that, oh, if we have to buy equipment, it's too expensive, we have to import it. But have we thought of coming up with basic, very, very basic ways of conducting experiments in chemistry, for instance, right? We see on YouTube now, people use dye and water and very, very basic things that we can find around us to create some of the really big experiments that we think cannot be done because we don't have equipment. The next response is a case study from Sierra Leone. A young person from Sierra Leone sent me this. It says, Sierra Leone is a post-conflict and post-pandemic low-income country. As a result of the 11 years of civil war, the country lost most of its infrastructure and has been challenged since with its growing young population. During its rebuilding process, it was hit by the Ebola pandemic in 2014, which left scars of death, including healthcare workers over the years. And there have been low human resources for health, which in turn decreased the number of lecturers in the only medical school in the country. Wow. As a low-income country, the government can't meet the growing population demand in terms of human resource and infrastructure, and there is total urbanization, leaving the rural areas vulnerable with a lack of schools, trained and qualified teachers. This is absolutely true. I think this problem, I also saw a response from Ghana that talked about a lack of proper infrastructure. And there's so many reasons for this, right? In the case of Sierra Leone, they're talking about a country that has gone through civil war. And not just that, we are now in an era where we have to talk about the coronavirus pandemic and how it has impacted the state of our education. But before the pandemic, there were schools under trees, right? And in Ghana alone, we have over 5,400 schools under trees. Now, that is just Ghana. We are not talking about the rest of sub-Saharan Africa. And if we have students who don't even have access to things as simple as classrooms, libraries, and science laboratories, how do we expect them to excel? Not just academically, but in life as a whole, but in life in general. How do we expect them to compete with the rest of the world that starts to give their young people access to laboratories as early as primary school? And I think another issue that has come up a lot is low access to textbooks and learning materials. I've had the opportunity of studying in Cameroon, Ghana, and now I'm studying in the US. And it's so different. When I moved here to the US, I realized like most of the textbooks I was using in my classrooms were actually written by the lecturers that are teaching me. And this bothered me a lot because back home in Cameroon, most of the textbooks that I had access to were imported textbooks. So if the older population, the older generation is unable to even write textbooks, and when they do, the textbooks are not up to standard, in quotes, the textbooks are not able to compete internationally, then we have a real problem that needs to be solved. And this lack of basic educational material is mainly due to the fact that our educational system is so underfunded. That is a whole topic for a different day. But if you look at it, if we don't have governments that are investing in the state of our schools, that are investing in infrastructure, that are investing in laboratories and libraries and technology, then we end up with a group of young people that have no idea what a computer looks like, that have no idea what it's like to actually practice science. They only know the theory of it, but they don't know how to practice it. This leads me to our next response, which is that a lack of technology, such as laptops in our schools, hinders the progress of our young people. A lot of African students don't have good access to the internet, and we have limited access to the internet, even in our major towns, due to the high cost imposed by mobile operators and our general lack of electricity. This then creates a gap in our technology industry, since our young people are not well prepared for the job market. Many people get out of schools without the adequate skills needed to move our countries forward. Wow. This actually reminds me of something that Kingsley mentioned in our last episode about the fact that our young people study computer science at the university level without using a computer or a laptop. How do you expect these people to drive our technological industry forward? How do you expect these people to compete internationally, not just in the tech space, but even in the business space? Again, I'll just pick on what Kingsley said last week. He said, we have the human resource. Now it's just up to us to act on what we have. Our population is so young. The median age in Africa is 19 years. Think about that, 19 years. And for most of the world, especially Europe, the median age is about 40. So we have a very young population. And it still bothers me that our young people don't even know how to use a computer. We're now learning how to use computers. We're now learning how to code, whilst the rest of the world is already building on that knowledge and creating all kinds of technologies, some of which we cannot even afford, even if we wanted to. Okay, let's move on to the next response. Due to a lack of jobs, people end up as teachers, not because they are passionate about impacting the next generation, but because they need to feed their families. Even as teachers, they are not paid well enough, and it results in these teachers focusing so much on feeding students instead of helping students understand what they are being taught. Our instructors must strategize to focus on how best a student can apply what he or she is learning to solve societal problems. This right here is another example of how our problems in Africa are so connected. We see here that an unemployment problem has resulted in an educational problem. It is very unfortunate that some people will have to become teachers because there are no jobs available. But I think teachers play such a huge part in our growth and our development as individuals, and I really have to applaud teachers for that. But I've also been in situations where I've heard a teacher say, "My teacher did not teach me this. I learned it on my own, and you should do the same." And it makes me wonder, if we have this mindset, how are we building our young people to excel in life? Because that young person would grow up with that mindset and would say the same thing when they do become a teacher, even if it's something they are passionate about. As we have seen in our previous episodes, education has an influence on healthcare, the technological industry, business, and even our leadership. So if we want to see progress in these areas, we need to start investing in the quality education of our young people. An example of this is what Patrick Ewa, the founder of Rashesi, is doing in Ghana. He saw a leadership problem, and his solution to that leadership problem was to educate young people to become ethical and entrepreneurial leaders. I would end this episode with a quote from Nelson Mandela. "Education is a great engine of personal development. It is through education that the daughter of a peasant can become a doctor, that the son of a mine worker can become the head of the mine, that a child of farm workers can become the president of a great nation." Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you'd be able to join us again for our next episode and continue to engage with my post on Baobab. If you don't know what Baobab is a platform for young Africans that are passionate about creating change. You can go to www.baobabplatform.org and follow us on Instagram at Baobab Platform. Thank you again for tuning in, and until next time, bye.